Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 6. Appreciate Heritage Strings. Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. Great song. This is going to be a two-part message. I shouldn't warn you, but I will be preaching tonight too. So I just made the decision for some of you about this evening's service. But this morning I'm going to be talking about a generation that grieved God. A generation that grieved God. Tonight I'll be preaching on the subject of how to live in a generation that grieves God. And I believe we are there. And so we'll be talking about that. You say, well, what does that have to do with Christmas? Well, it has all to do with Christmas. Everything has everything to do with Christmas. Christmas is just basically Jesus coming to the earth, born of a virgin. By the way, it has to deal with every message we should preach. And you know, this is just a special time of the year, but I hope that all the time you focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that you just get your ears in tune with that as the holiday season is in full force right now. And people lose the meaning of Christmas so quickly in this society. And we think God's been good to us if we're able to buy a bunch of presents. That's what I figured would happen when I said that. But God's been good to us regardless of how much we can buy. It's not about here, it's about where I'm going. And we were reminded of that yesterday at Miss Watson's funeral. That it's not about here. You can't take it with you. And I tell you what, we had a great service yesterday for Miss Chris Watson, and I hope that you're praying for Brother Watson. And I'm glad to know that we have hope in the eternal life. You say, well, I don't believe in the afterlife. Well, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. You're going to go to heaven or hell whether you believe it or not. I don't know about you, but I know I'm going to heaven because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Can I give you an illustration? I got in the ark. And we're going to talk about that today. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. A generation that grieved God. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men that were fair, they were fair. And they took them wives and of all which they chose. Verse 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 4 says, and there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men and bare children to them, the same came mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Now, let me stop there because there's always that discrepancy of who are the sons of men. I'll give you the main two trains of thought upon that. First, they believe that the sons of God are the lineage of Seth. They are from the lineage of Seth. There's a lot that can be said about that. But also, another thought, which is more highly thought that is probably true, is the demons that fell with Satan took upon them form of man and had children with women of this earth. By the way, that makes more sense to me because if the whole earth was corrupt at that time, there had to be a horrible seed in there during that time. And you can study that. And matter of fact, I would encourage you to go on Answers in Genesis and look at they have a whole big write-up on this, and it's very good. And you could take that either way, or you could make up your own. It doesn't, you know, matter because I know I'm telling the truth, so it don't matter. But verse 4, I'm playing. Verse 4 says, he said there were giants in the land. And he talks about the sons of God came into the daughters and bare children. And so the world begins to multiply. Now I want you to notice what happens in this multiplication. Verse 5 says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. And that, now here's a thought, or here's a statement that just blows my mind. That it says that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. You say, can a generation get to that point? And I say, yes. I believe that, matter of fact, I believe Romans tells us that God can give them over to a reprobate mind. That God, by the way, He said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There's a time when God says enough is enough. And we'll talk about that here in just a moment. Let's pray, or read verse 7. It says, and the Lord said, I will, or verse 6, I never read 6. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. By the way, this was a worldwide flood. It wasn't a localized flood, and I'll talk about that, why that had to be here in a moment. Both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for the day, God. Thank You for Your blessings upon us. Lord, I need Your help this morning. Lord, You know, God, that without You, I can do nothing. And Father, I wouldn't even want to try this morning. These are Your people. God, You know their hearts this morning. You know the ones that are here this morning that are not saved. You know the ones that are going through troubled times. You know the ones that have sin in their life. You know the ones that just need encouraging. God, I don't know that today. And so, Father, all I can do is do what You've asked me to do, and that's to preach this message. God, I don't totally understand what Your will is for today, but God, I do know that You want to speak to Your people. I do know that You want to save souls today. And so, God, if I could just be an instrument that You would use for a moment in time to change lives, God, I'd be ever grateful. But, God, I would hope and pray that all glory and all honor goes to You this morning. And, God, remove me from this service. And, Father, I need no praise, want no praise, because, Lord, all of it goes to You. And so, God, if You would use me, Lord, I would be ever grateful. I thank You for using me. And I ask all that be done in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So during this time, we see a rapid expansion of the human race. The sons of God, and whether you believe it's the lineage of Seth or whether you believe it's whatever, but I believe that through this expansion and this explosion of the human race that that the seed became tainted. I believe that we're going to look through some things this morning and see that that this generation was probably the worst. We know that it was the worst that the world had ever seen. By the way, it had to be pretty bad for God to wipe them all out. Everybody say amen. But I'm glad Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah and his family were the only ones saved from the wrath of God. And we'll talk about this a little in a moment, but the reason that they were spared from this is because they obeyed God and they believed God. Noah set the precedent for his family. By the way, dads, you ought to set the precedent for your family. You ought to be the man of the house. Well, we don't talk about that in our political world anymore, do we? But I believe that God shows an example of a dad who believed God and had faith toward God. By the way, we never see the faith of Noah's wife. We don't even know her name. We know she was pretty supportive, though, and we thank God for that. We thank God. We don't know a lot about her, but I do know this, is that she was behind her man. She may have knew that she was supposed to be the supporter of her husband and encourager of her husband as Noah took the forefront of this family. And he loved his family. By the way, I'm not going to preach that. But anyway, keep going. Not my job. But I want you to notice verse 6. Verse 6 is such a sad verse. There's going to be a lot of that today. I'm just in a mood today. I feel like preaching. Hallelujah. I have a horrible headache. Y'all do forgive me for that. I have a horrible headache, but in a little while I'll forget about it. And y'all won't even know I have a headache unless I just mentioned it to you. But verse 6 says, and it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth. Now notice this. And it grieved Him at His heart. By the way, God has feelings. Obviously. It grieved Him at His heart that He had made man. It repented Him that He had made man. And God was grieved in His heart at this generation. By the way, this was a generation. I know there were several generations, but matter of fact, turn over to chapter 7 and verse 1, I believe it is. I want you to notice what the Bible says. Chapter 7, verse 1, it says, and the Lord said unto Noah, come down all thy house into the ark, for thee I have seen righteousness before me in this generation. He said, Noah, I've seen it in you. I've not seen it anywhere else. Let's just say that there was 2 million people on the earth at this time. We don't know exactly how many were on the earth at this time. But just say there was 100,000 on this earth. And yet there was only one man and one family that God could find that were righteous and that trusted Him. This was a wicked generation. This was a horrible generation. You have to ask yourself, we're only 1,656 years from the time of Adam to the time of Noah. And in 1,656 years, that the world has gone from a perfect environment to the place where God is announcing judgment upon the whole world. I'll tell you what, that's pretty quick to go downhill to the place where God is saying, this generation grieves me. Folks, I know I'm jumping ahead, but we're living in a grieving generation. We're living in a generation, and I said this in Sunday school, where we applaud sin and we're appalled by godliness. We live in a generation today that if you're wrong, you're popular. If you're wicked, you're popular. If you're godly, you're going to be persecuted. And I believe we live in a society. Now are we at this point? I don't think we're nowhere near Moses, because I tell you, I believe there's some people in this church that are righteous. I believe there's some people at Berean Baptist Church down in Fort Worth this morning that are righteous. I believe there's some people down at Brother Stone's church this morning that are righteous. I believe there's some righteous people in this earth. And by the way, I believe that is the only thing holding back the wrath of God. But one day God's going to say enough is enough. The first time whenever we see that this happened, there was a lack of some things. I'll give these to you real quick. Number one, the way we get to a generation that grieves God, number one, there was a lack of parenting. Somebody say amen. There is a lack of parenting. It is an epidemic in our world today of a lack of parenting in our society today. Kids are left to raise themselves to do what they want to. Kids are raising mom and daddy today greater than mom and daddy raising the kids. Listen to me. I'm not here to scold you today. I'm just here to give you the truth. Is that if God has given you a baby, if God has given you children, He's given you them to protect them, to guide them, to take and nourish them in the admonition of God, and not to just throw them out to the wolves and let them raise themselves. Be a parent. Amen. You say, well, parenting's going good. Go to Walmart. Hang out in there for about an hour. Ooh, that's too long. 10 minutes. Well, 10 minutes at Walmart and 2 minutes at the mall. And you'll see kids that have no parents. God help us. During this time, you say, how do you know there's a lack of parenting? Hello? Somebody dropped the ball. Somebody. Whether it was Ham, Shem, or Japheth, or whoever it was, or not them, but it was Adam and Eve, and then whether it was Seth, whether it was whoever, somebody dropped the ball. Somebody dropped the ball. By the way, can I just go ahead and give you a little spoiler? Noah drops the ball after the flood. How do we get to a society that grieves God? You have a lack of parenting. By the way, quit being so lazy, parents. You spend more time on than you do with your kids. Hello? Spend time with those kids and raise them in the nurture and admonition of God. Be a parent to them. I know you're going to be mad at me. Send Pastor an email. But don't get mad at me. I tell you, am I the greatest parent in the world? No. Do I make mistakes? Yes. Ask my kids. Now, Bailey always says no. But that's the only word she can say. But I want to tell you is that there was a lack of parenting during this time. We see it in our world today that parents are dropping the ball. During this time, parents had to drop the ball of raising their kids and parenting their kids. The second thing we see is a lack of purity. A lack of purity. Look at verse 5. It says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth." Now notice this, he says, "In that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." We have a lack of purity in this age, in this generation that God was in, that Noah was a part of. We see a lack of morals. Mind you today? There's no moral compass on people anymore. People come up to you and steal your wallet and your purse and never think twice about it. There's no morality in our world today. There's no purity in our world today. By the way, there's no purity in our society anymore. Matter of fact, if you look up purity, basically it is a pureness. It is a holiness of one. And the reason we have a lack of purity is because of selfishness. Because of no self-control. By the way, we live in a world today that has taken morals, wadded it up, and thrown it in the wastebasket. If you stand for purity and morals, you will be a target for society. You will be the brunt of everybody's joke because you make a stand for purity. You let a young boy or a young teenager say that I'm going to stay pure until I get married, they will be mocked and made fun of because that's not the popular thing anymore. The popular thing is to start having relationships when you're 13 and 14 years old. God help us. Oh, I've got to go back. You know why that is? It's because it's a lack of parenting. If I was a pastor, I'd tell you a few other things. But I'm the associate. So I'm going to be nice because I like people to like me. But I'll tell you what, we got to go back to a pure society. God blesses purity. And by the way, if you mess up, God forgives. Hallelujah. But your job as a Christian is to want to live pure. And to live pure before your kids. And we see in this society that God saw that the wickedness of man. Now notice what he said. It was great in the earth. In other words, it was televised. Hello. Does anybody know of a show on TV today that honors and glorifies God that is a sitcom or anything like that? I don't know. I don't watch it, but I don't know. But I want to tell you what, do they put it on there, people that are homosexuals and people that are living promiscuous lives and things like that? Oh yeah, well we glorify that. God help us in today's society to live pure lives, that we ought to live pure. By the way, they were living impure lives during a time without TV and without internet. Think how easy it is today. One click. Impurity right in front of you. One click. Impurity right in front of you. God help us. We see a lack of purity. We see, third thing, a lack of passion. Notice verse 11 and through 13. Verse 11 through 13. It says, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. By the way, it's one thing when you got a society that's just, you know, it's sin is rampant. But you know what comes with sin? Violence. By the way, you studied this out. It just ain't they were beating each other up. It was men taking other wives and things that were of a sexual nature happening during this time. God help us that we see a society that notice what it says, that the earth was filled with violence. Verse 12 says, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt for all flesh. Notice what he said, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, I like verse 13. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God says, I'm done. By the way, God's long-suffering, isn't he? By the way, God could have just done that right there and wiped them all out. But he gave him 150 years of time of repentance. Really, I mean, you think about it in longevity of time. You think about God giving them hundreds of years. You think of God today giving men thousands of years to repent and to turn to God. And yet we have a lack of passion. We have a lack of love for each other. I've never seen a society where it's like, I hate you and you hate me. I don't like that. I hate when people hate me. Don't you? I hate when people hate me. And by the way, if you're going to steal from me and you're going to take from me, that means you hate me. If you love me, you would not do that, would you? I mean, I love my children. I do steal from my children. Especially Shelby. Shelby's got all kind of money stuffed everywhere. She's like some old grandma with mason jars. Me and Donya find money all over. I shouldn't tell y'all this. We're going to get robbed tonight. But you know, I don't go in there and I don't steal from my family. I don't steal from my church. Why? Because I love my church. I love my family. I don't steal from my neighbor because I love my neighbor. We have a lack of passion. The earth was corrupt and filled with violence during that time. Matter of fact, you read in Matthew chapter 24, it says, as the days of Noah were, so shall it be when the coming of the Son of Man. Now, that's talking about the second coming of Christ, that the earth's going to be in the same predicament. How's it going to get there? Well, it's called the tribulation period. That's when man is unleashed to do what he wants, the violence. But we're going to see a precursor to that before the tribulation. And guess what we see today? We see this. By the way, you can be good parents and be step-parents. I just want to throw that plug in there. By the way, Jesus had a stepdad. Amen. Hallelujah. By the way, I know it's going to blow some of your theology. God was divorced too. That blew some of your theology. He divorced Israel. Wrote him a bill of a divorcement. He knows what it's like to lose his love. That's why he came to the Gentiles. Hello. Now he's going to bring them back in the tribulation period. Some of y'all are looking at me like, I can't believe it. God knows how you feel this morning. God knows what you're going through this morning. We need to change society. How are we going to change it? By holding a sign? By this right here. And changing me first. By the way, you want to change society, you change me. You start here. It's like revival. Revival doesn't happen without you first saying, God, work in my life. You say, what in the world is the point of this message today? Well, I believe that we see the first time that God was going to announce judgment, he sent an ark. We read it earlier, chapter 7. God says to Noah and all of his family, he said, get an ark. He said, I've made a way of escape for you. Hallelujah for that. I'm glad God didn't go, well, Noah, you know what? You're just part of this situation. You're just part of this society. Boom, you're gone too. But he didn't do that. Why? Because God makes provisions for those who put their faith and trust in him. And he built this big old ark so that Noah and his family and animals to sustain society could get in there. And guess what happened? Noah gets into this ark. And did Noah close the door? No. You know why Noah didn't close the door? There's a doctrinal statement to that. Because if Noah would have closed the door, he would have been pronouncing judgment upon the people. He would have been the final authority. But guess what the Bible says? And God closed the door. Noah's in this ark. By the way, can you imagine Noah's life? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, I think verse 7, it says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Do you think Noah was probably criticized for being crazy? They'd never seen rain. But you know what? He believed God, didn't he? By the way, all of us are crazy. So you know why we're crazy? Because we believe Jesus is coming again. But I'm telling you what, he is. The first time before God announced judgment upon the earth, we see that God sent an ark. But then the second time God is going to announce judgment. By the way, God is going to announce judgment. God is going to announce judgment upon this earth. We know that when the rapture happens, boom, the church is taken out. All the saved of God will be taken out of this world. Then we go into a 7-year tribulation period. And guess what God did so we could get out of here? He sent another ark. He sent an ark born in a manger. When Jesus was in that manger and whenever Mary laid him there and Joseph was there, God was sending an ark. That through this baby, that through this child, men could believe in him and trust in him that he was the Son of God, but that he was the escape from the judgment to come. You say, how are you going to escape judgment? You got to get an ark. You got to get an ark. You got to get in the great ark, which is Jesus Christ. By the way, the signs are here of a wicked generation. The signs are all around us that there is a generation that we live in today that is wicked and that grieves God in his heart. And can I ask you that how much longer will God wait? By the way, I don't know about you, but I don't like silence. I take that back. I love silence. I just lied in church. I actually love silence. I like when people leave me alone. I don't have to listen to it. Especially myself. I hate when I'm talking to myself. But you know what? I don't like silence when I'm in the doctor's office. Do you? Well, Mr. Wiggins, they always put their hand on their chin. Well, Mr. Wiggins, come on with it. Right? You're in the dentist's office. He's looking there going, oh. Like, what's going on? Are my teeth coming out? I mean, what, somebody tell me. I hate that silence. But can I tell you? Is that before God comes, He sends the silence. You know what the silence is? Is that trumpet going to sound? And then we're going to be raptured out of here, and then the world's going to be speechless. Why? Because they didn't get in the ark. I just can't help but to think that when that door closed on that ark, people were going, what a weirdo. Seriously, what is this thing? All of a sudden, bloop, 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 bloop. I don't believe it happened like that. I believe it just went, and the earth erupted. By the way, I said this earlier. The reason it had to be a worldwide flood is because the doctrinal thought and theology behind that is that if it was a localized flood, there would have had to been many Jesuses come. Because if the picture, you lose the picture of the ark. You lose the picture of Christ if you lose the picture of the ark. The ark is a picture of Christ. That one ark saved all that would get saved or trust in God in that time. If it would have been a localized flood, that means that all the rest of them would have been unjust. There's a lot here. I just dug a hole, but I'm trying to get at it. But here's the thing, is that if it's a worldwide flood, there was one way out. And by the way, when God comes back, it's not going to be a localized judgment. It's going to be one world judgment. Whether you're an American or whether you're a Filipino, whether you're Mexican or whether you're this or whether you're that, God's going to show up on the scene all at one time. And no matter what continent you live on, no matter what state you live in, God is going to pronounce judgment upon this earth, and it's going to be a worldwide judgment because why? He sent one ark, one Christ. Sometimes we look at that manger, and even as the song we sung this morning in choir, Born to Die, when that baby was in that manger, that was God in the flesh. He came to be an ark for me and you. Jesus Christ is the only way. By the way, you get beat up for that nowadays. Well, you don't believe that this person's right? No, I don't. Because I believe this is right. There has to be a sole authority of what we believe. And it's not your opinion, my opinion, or this book that was written by some guy that had a vision, or this woman that had a vision. I trust the Word of God. We see that Noah and his family got in this ark. The rains came. The earth opened up. The rains came down. Noah's first thought was probably this: I'm glad I trusted the Lord. I'm glad I believed in Him. But for the people outside of that ark, the thought must have been, I wished I would have listened to the preacher of righteousness. Can I invite you this morning? Get in the ark. Jesus Christ was not born of a virgin just to amuse people. Jesus Christ was not born of a virgin just so that people could wonder and gaze upon this child. He was born of a virgin so that He could be pure. Because why? Of the impurity in the world. Why did Jesus come? He'd come to save you and to save me. When you open up those gifts that are under the tree and you unwrap that gift, don't you get excited? I used to get real excited when our kids were little. when they made stuff for you? Y'all remember those days? Before they started buying stuff with my money? Amen, parents? Like, Daddy, I need 20 bucks to buy you a gift with. How does that work? As a parent, you always loved, never smoked a day in my life, but we all got an ashtray, didn't we? That kids made in school. Bailey made me one a few years ago. I used it on my desk for change. Yeah, see, she knows. I put that on there and I'm reminded of the love of my kids for me. I'm also reminded that I don't give it back to them because it's so precious to me. And by the way, my kids don't want it back because it was a gift. Salvation is the greatest present, the greatest gift that God has given to us. I love whenever I see somebody coming down the old-fashioned altar and they begin to unwrap this present that God's given them. And God begins through the Holy Spirit to peel back that paper that they once were blinded. They couldn't see it, but the Holy Spirit begins to, begins to peel back that paper, and they begin to see the love of God and Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for them. And they come down to an altar, and somebody takes the Bible and peels back the box and opens it up for them, and the greatest gift hits them in the face, that Jesus Christ died on a cross for them. They take and they believe through faith. And they receive that gift. Greatest gift you can ever receive is Jesus Christ. But there's good news. There's gooder news. It's a gift. He ain't taking it back. He gives it to you because He loves you. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. I went off script this morning, but I don't care. Have you received the gift? You better receive it. Why? Because we live in that generation that grieves God. Why don't you get saved this morning? Let's all stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. I'll pray, and then we'll sing a verse of invitation. Father, I love You today. Lord, we do live in that generation. But God, You're not done yet. You're still working. Lord, and until You sound that trumpet, Lord, we'll just keep preaching and You'll keep saving. Lord, You'll keep helping Your people. And so, God, we are thankful that You are long-suffering to us, Lord. God, this morning, would You bless this time of invitation? Lord, I pray for there be one here or maybe many here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. God, through all the compassion I have in my life, Lord, I beg and I plead with them to come to this old-fashioned altar, and somebody through a Bible can show them how to be saved this morning. Father, the greatest gift that they would ever receive would be the gift of salvation. And Lord, You told us that it was a free gift. Father, I pray for our generation here today. Lord, there are some parents that are trying to make a difference with their kids. God, they need Your help, though. Lord, we live in a generation that is not for godly parenting. And so, God, they need Your help. Lord, help us all to live in love and compassion for our fellow brethren and, Lord, those around us. And God, You even told us to love our enemy. Lord, we can't do that without You. And so, Father, I beg You and I plead with You that You would help us this morning. I love You in Jesus' name.